afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OVS first quarter 2018 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stefano Beraldo, CEO of OVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. For the first Q result of OVS is basically confirming our expectation after the conference call held mid of April. It has been a difficult quarter for the market. The general environment has been difficult, and in this tough condition, OVS continued to consolidate the market. Sales has been tough all across Europe because of particularly unfavorable weather condition, which impacted Italy as much, and with the average temperature in the months of February and March, 30%-35% lower compared to the seasonal average, and frequent rainfall. In spite of this, sales grew by 2%, excluding the sell-in to Sempione Fashion. The network expanded by 54 stores, of which 26 abroad, mainly in franchising as usual. In Italy, market share increased from 7.5%-7.9% versus last year, confirming that OVS is continuing successfully consolidating the Italian market through both OVS and Upim. Adjusted EBITDA achieved 30 million, 800,000 higher than first Q 2017, with EBITDA margin slightly increasing. This has been driven by gross margin, thanks to better intake as expected and tight cost control. The adjusted PBT was 13 million, in line with the previous year. The result has been impacted by the second part of the provision and depreciation, which has been taken related to asset linked to the commercial agreement with Sempione. The total write-down of 53 million had a similar impact at cash flow level. Based on the available information, all this depreciation and write-off booked in the first quarter, combined with the ones that has been taken in the full year 2017, in our opinion, represent the last portion of asset that might not be recovered. If we move to page three, what I can say is that in spite of the weather, as we said, OVS has been able, in a difficult quarter, thanks to the flexibility, the cost-cutting measure put in place since the first month of the year, once we realized that the season was particularly adverse in term of weather, and thanks, as expected, to a material intake increase generated by the better buying condition, thanks to the increased buying capacity, which OVS has achieved during the last couple of seasons. EBITDA margin grew, and intake improvement was the main driver of this EBITDA margin increase, with an increase at gross margin level of about, I think, 200 basis points, which you don't see in this chart. As I said, we started with a tight cost control activity. identifying several items which are generating already in the first quarter the early signals of good results. We are presently in line with our full year forecast of cost cutting, which we already announced you during the last conference. Basically, the combination of higher intake, cost control, both at group level and at store level, and also the expected dollar contribution, because we hedged at better exchange rate compared to the 2017. All these aspects combined are compensating the sales, which has been positive if we look at the network as a total, but has been slightly negative if you look at the like-for-like. The difference between the reported EBITDA of 54 and the adjusted of 54 and the reported is explained by 30 million of one-off bad debt provision for trade receivable related to Sempione, and 20 million one-off inventory write-off for the excess of inventory and for the inventory under consignment, both generated by the relation with Sempione Fashion. Lastly, 3 million of accruals for other risk provision related to other possible costs related to this relationship. Moving to page four, EBITDA growth, both for OVS and Upim, as you can see. I think that worthwhile mentioning that Upim is quarter after quarter, year after year, improving EBITDA margin, and now is close on a yearly basis, even if on a quarterly basis seems to be even higher compared to OVS. This depends from the different phasing, different merchandising mix. If we look at the full year performance, our expectation is for Upim to become very close to OVS in term of profitability, as we expected during the last couple of years. At page five, I walk you through the working capital. It goes without saying that the working capital has been impacted negatively by the Sempione story, receivable, trade receivable, and inventory. Part of the inventory, which has been compensated with receivable, part of the inventory which has been returned, part of the inventory which has not been even invoiced to Sempione, all together are generating this increase in working capital. The only thing I would like to point out is that if you look at the right side of this chart, you can appreciate that compared to the former year, when during the first quarter, which normally is a quarter where the business absorbs cash, the cash absorption, once excluded the extraordinary impact due to Sempione, has been lower by 24 million compared to last year. Basically, compared to the first Q, trade receivable increased by 4 million, driven by the franchisee store. The DSO improved. The amount of inventory related to OVS business and after the write-off relating to Sempione Group, to the Sempione Fashion Group merchandising, which is 20 million, grew in line with the growth of the square meters, basically, reflecting the normal seasonality of the business. This is in spite of a lower than expected turnover, because as we said, in the first Q, the overall turnover has been lower compared to our original expectation, and this is possible because of a better planning and a more reactive sourcing model, as we enter more and more into a push and pull methodology and in a more and more disciplined buying. Given the trade payable doesn't require any particular comment, in my opinion. CapEx at page six, 3 million more than last year, mostly because of an increase in CapEx related to the digital transformation, which is undergoing, and the majority of the CapEx still absorbed by the new openings. The new openings are performing well. In page seven, you can see some ratio that I think doesn't need comment from me. In page eight, it's another way to present the typical first quarter seasonality, where in the first Q 2016, the company absorbed 63 million. In the first Q of 2017, 53 million. In the first Q of year 2018, which is the present quarter, the absorption is in line with last year, once not included the effect of Sempione Fashion. Finally, an outlook on the next period. First of all, I would like to say that the market is still challenging, with a May which has been twofold. There has been a good part and a bad part, always depending very much from weather. In principle, the performance is similar to the one that has been generated in the first quarter. Some aspect related our priorities, which are very important in order to be able to remain as much as possible untouched or only marginally touched by whatever weather and top line we might have. We confirm that the refurbishments which we announced to be done during the summer period will be done. We have identified 32 stores to be refurbished. They will be financed, as we discussed, by a vendor financing. Basically, what we expect from these 32 stores is about 4.5 million EBITDA increase run rate for a total cash absorbed in 3 years of about 17 million, 16 million. Basically, 80% of the cash that will be absorbed in 3 years will be self-generated by the yearly EBITDA. There is no upfront cash out because this amount will be financed by vendors, as we made years ago with the relamping. The good reason of confirming this refurbishment plan is that the 10 stores which have been refurbished during the first quarter, on average, generated a 12% like-for-like, while the remaining network was negative, as I mentioned. We plan, thanks to this dashboard of cost-cutting, we plan 7 million-8 million of savings, and already in the first Q, we have reported part of this amount, which has been already achieved. Then we continue assuming to be able to have a gross margin higher than last year, and this is also evident in the first quarter, and that's because of synergies, as we said, and U.S. dollar. Finally, we are continuing growing out of Italy with our organic growth, which is based on a franchise model, which means that even if we have not been successful in what has been the minority acquisition of Ciasvegele, nevertheless, we receive continuous evidence that in other markets where we are present, we are performing well, and we continue opening new space. This year in 2018, we plan to open another 40%-50% of new space, 80% of which in markets where we are already present and where we are on average performing with positive like-for-like. We finally may update about the commercial relationship with Campione. During the last month, several extraordinary things happened, and the most important has been that the Swiss company entered into a moratorium procedure. Starting from April, we decided to privilege protecting our receivable and our asset in light of the difficult situation that Campione was facing. In spite of continuing giving some support to the company, modifying our wholesale model into a consignment model, which enabled us, by the way, to start recovering merchandising and also cash, the Swiss company couldn't reverse the negative trend and has obtained the admission to this provisional composition moratorium procedure, which is similar to, for the one of you which are Italian, to a concordato. Even if the Austrian, Slovenian, and Hungarian companies has been recording much better results compared to Switzerland, it is not possible to predict if their activities will continue or will be affected by the procedure of the parent company. The German company has been sold to a third party. In any case, because of the aforementioned aspect, we decide to take all the provision that we consider appropriate in order to protect our company from further losses. We believe that based on what we know as of today, there will not be any further losses generated by this acquisition. We are still convinced that the company can continue targeting international growth, and that the consolidation of Italy remains the first priority, and that international growth will be pursued as in the past through an independent business unit by means of franchising growth, which will continue remaining the pillar of this strategy. Thanks for your time, and I'm open to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Eric Carson of Industrial Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. How has the weather been in June so far?
Weather in June is okay. Weather is okay.
Would you say it's better or worse than, let's say, May on average?
Better than May.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. I hope you can hear me. My questions are related to the like-for-like performance in the first quarter. It would be useful to know a more precise number, what was the performance of like-for-like, in order to assess how much of your, let's say, cost-saving and growth initiative are kicking in the first quarter. Because, I mean, according to my calculation, basically, you mentioned in the previous conference call, something like between 40 to 55 million of potential either cost saving or growth initiative, and to which we need to subtract the like-for-like component and other negative elements like promotional activity or price pressure. So if you could expand on that, on the like-for-like and the magnitude of the like-for-like, would be definitely useful. And in particular, again, looking at all items of EBITDA expansion expected in 2018, and looking at the performance, which of course is a minor quarter of the year, you are still to make up a lot of, let's say, EBITDA growth. Are you confident on vis-a-vis what is the consensus, which is, by the way, by far your, let's say, EBITDA growth breakdown? Are you happy with the consensus forecast for this year? I mean, assuming like for like, let's say, stable going ahead of the rest of the year. And again, as far as the working capital is concerned, I mean, you were mentioning that the working capital is following seasonal, let's say, normal seasonal patterns. Of course, if we look at the working capital vis-a-vis the last 12-month sales, there is an increase, in, according to my calculation, of one-half percentage point. So are we still, just globally is impacting on this figure vis-a-vis also the previous old stock that you were supposedly dismantling from the poor 2016 season. So basically, how much unsold stock you need to get rid of before going back to previous level. Thank you very much.
Well, on the like-for-like, you know that when we are at mid of the season, we never comment like-for-like. You may determine a deemed like-for-like by considering that we are not changing so much our development plan in terms of new openings. So you can formulate your own conclusion, but I prefer not to mention the like-for-like, even because these figures are unaudited, and I prefer to continue giving to the market the information on the like-for-like based on the end of the season, as we decided to do since we announced our IPO. You ask me if I'm comfortable with the consensus and if I believe that the EBITDA might achieve the amount that the consensus is assuming. I say that, as you correctly said, this is the weaker quarter of the year in terms of sales. Nevertheless, in this quarter, I think we can see two good aspects. One is the gross margin improvement, which is not driven by markdown. This is driven by intake. And the reason for the intake has been already explained. The intake increase is solid. It's not subject to last for one quarter. It's subject to last for the full year. So one element of this first quarter, I guess, will continue to remain valid for the rest of the year. The second element for the capacity of this quarter to be very resilient compared to the external condition is that the cost-cutting plan has been successfully put in place and is generating exactly what we expected to generate. Then, all in all, I don't feel at risk regarding the component of gross margin and the cost which depend from us. Then, as usual, the market is what it is. But in this moment, I have no reason why to change my opinion about what you guys, when you discuss with our IR people, are receiving in terms of opinion about the full year EBITDA. So the answer is basically today I still feel comfortable, even if I'm nervous because my competitors are suffering and the market is still challenging, I would say. The final question on working capital, maybe Nicola, you want to elaborate because you are better placed than me, maybe.
Well, on if we consider the last 12 months, the OVS as a worse working networking capital, or trade networking capital for about 1% on its sales, and this is correct. And I confirm the fact that the main reason of this is the fact that we are still digest the peak on inventory of 50 million that we suffered in end of 2017. Our plan is to improve in this area, the inventory rotation. Unfortunately, due to the fact that we dedicate times to manage the Sempione fashion activity and the exit of this, we are maybe we didn't achieve the results in this area. But still, we are working very hard, and as you can appreciate, in the first quarter, the inventory of the ordinary business of OVS, I mean without Sempione Fashion, is improving. The aging of this inventory is improving, and we have an important plan, also taking on board some external consultant with strong experience with other players like us, in order to achieve an important improvement in this area. In any case, our trade working capital net sales is still below compared to all the other peers. Of course, we are benefiting from a longer and stable DPO, but again, it's an area where we are working for improve our results.
The only comment I may have to what Nicola said is that we are fully aware that the industry is suffering because of excess of inventory. We are not alone, but it doesn't mean that we are happy. And because our stock turn can be improved, we entered again after what Nicola said, maybe a period where maybe some defocusing has been needed because of the Swiss company story. In the last 30 days, we put in place a lot of actions, all related to stock management, and from the increase in the post distribution that in the second half of the year we'll achieve 15% of the inventory, while in the first quarter was only 5% of the inventory, to many others. So I'm sure that there will be an improvement in the next 12 months, and all this improvement will transform in cash generation.
Thank you very much. If I may, looking at what happened to the share price and so on and so forth, in the future, would you be able to commit in a sort of business plan with an EBITDA target or net financial position target, or is something you are not taking into consideration? Thank you.
We think very often if we can commit to this, but I'm not sure we will do the right thing, because this market, differently from utilities or energy or other industries, is very much driven from volatility, which depends from weather, from customer habits, and the top line is not entirely in our hands. So to commit to a long-term business plan formally, with the consequence to be forced to have a kind of fences within which to move is something I'm not sure it will be advisable. We are thinking about it, but we are not taking any decision.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Beraldo, there are no more questions registered this time.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.